We're going to start by reading Psalm 22. Actually, I won't read the whole thing, just selections from it, but it's more than half of it. This is the psalm just before Psalm, obviously, 23. The Lord is my shepherd, and I shall not want. You know, it's a very positive. This one, while it ends positive, it starts off not so positive. It's actually the first line is what the stories tell us that Jesus said on the cross. So hear this now, reading from Psalm 22. I'll be reading from the Inclusive Bible. My God, my God, why have you forsaken me? Why are you so far away? So far from saving me, so far from the words of my groaning. I cry all day, my God, but you never answer. I call all night, and sleep deserts me. Our ancestors put their trust in you. They trusted, and you rescued them. They cried out to you. And we're saved. They trusted you and were never disappointed. Yet, here I am, more worm than human, the scorn of humanity, an object of ridicule, and all who see me mock me. They shake their heads and sneer at me. My enemies are like a herd of bulls surrounding me, like the strong bulls of Bashan, closing in on me with jaws open wide to swallow me. They're like lions, tearing at their prey, roaring. I'm like water draining away. My bones are disjointed. My heart is like wax melting inside me. My strength is dried up like a piece of clay pottery, and my tongue is stuck to the roof of my mouth. You lay me down in dusty death, but you, Yahweh, don't be far off. My strength, hurry to help me. Rescue my life from the sword, my dear life from the power of these dogs. Save me from the lion's mouth. My poor soul from the wild bull's horns. Then I will proclaim your name to my sisters and brothers and praise you in the full assembly. But my children will be faithful to you, and they will be told about Yahweh for generations to come. They will come and proclaim your justice to a people yet unborn. All this Yahweh has done. As always, may we add blessing and understanding to the meaning of these words. So today's message, I admittedly was a little anxious about it, because on various occasions I will venture enough to sing some. And sometimes it's been okay, and other times we had issues. But I'm going to try this anyway. I'm going to be doing it a cappella on top of it. It's part, it weaves in and out of this particular message. And ultimately, I would just say, you know, it's not about how well I sing it. It's not about how well anyone sings a song. It's about whether it's heartfelt or not. So with that, my message today is entitled Hallelujah in the Dark. I've heard there was a secret chord David played, and it pleased the Lord. But you don't really care for music, do you? Goes like this, the fourth, the fifth, minor fall, major lift, baffled king, composing, hallelujah, hallelujah, Hallelujah. 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 While we do not seek out the dark places of life, they do happen. And making it through them helps us trust that God, however you define God, is with us in them. And helps us to understand that with your God's help, your higher being's help, we can be stronger than we once were. And once we make it through them, we realize that. Well, it's all well and good to understand this, the cycle of going into dark times in life and ultimately coming out of them stronger for the experience. It's all well and good to understand that God did not put you into the tough times, but rather God brought you out of them. It's all well and good to understand that in the midst of the darkness, that while it can seem like God is missing, God is actually always there with you. We can learn a lot from those realities, and we can have a better life when we learn to understand them, put them, what we've learned, into practice. But I couldn't help but feel like more needed to be said on the subject. Those dark places are difficult. Even Jesus found them difficult. Down on his knees in Gethsemane, asking this cup of suffering to be taken from him. Or, as we talked about earlier, hanging from the cross, quoting today's scripture, my God, why have you forsaken me? The dark times of life are tough. And frequently, like Jesus, we do feel forsaken. It's oh so easy to get sucked up in the darkness, lost in it, and sort of set up camp there to not bother to fight your way out of it, to instead sort of just lick your wounds and in your loneliness call out today's scripture saying to God, why are you so far from helping me? That's frequently when a sort of bunker mentality sets in, where we shut down and shut people out. And that's when we get stuck there. King David, who is frequently noted as the author of today's scripture, understood about the dark places in life. He had definitely been there. Today's psalm alone, although there are many others that really would have done about the same, it shows us that he knows. He knows how hopeless those dark places can seem. Well, my God, I cry by day, but you do not answer, and by night, but I find no rest. I am a worm, and not human, scorned by others, despised by the people. Yet, David is saying these things in the book of Psalms. The word psalm actually comes from a Greek word, psalmoi, meaning song sung to heart. And in here in Psalm 22, David's composing in song all of his fears, all of his doubts, all of his frustrations, all of his laments, and in song is sort of just flinging them all to God. Songs sung to harp. Now, the song that I started the message with, Leonard Cohen's Alleluia, playfully suggests that there's a secret chord that pleases God. And it would seem that King David believed this to be true. Many of the psalms which are attributed to him are laments, songs full of grief and trouble. They were sort of his version of the blues. And David certainly had reasons to sing the blues. Your faith was strong, but you needed proof. You
You saw her bathing on the roof. Her beauty and the moonlight overthrew you. She tied you to a kitchen chair. She broke your throne and cut your hair. And from your lips she drew the hallelujah. 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 Hallelujah.
As the story goes, David betrayed his troops. He betrayed his nation. And ultimately, he betrayed his God. Yet, in the Psalms, he continues to sing hallelujah. It would seem that he manages to do it even in the darkest times. Hallelujah. The first half of the word hallelujah means praise, and the second half Yah means God, as in Yahweh. Praise God. I just betrayed everything that matters to me. Praise God. Which is beaten and abused. Praise God. The person whom I love just left. Praise God. How do we praise God in the darkness? You say I took name in vain. I don't even know the name. But if I did, well, really, what's it to ya? There's a blaze of light in every word. It doesn't matter which you heard, the holy or the broken. Hallelujah. 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 There's a blaze of light in every word. It doesn't matter which you heard, the holy or the broken. Hallelujah. Broken hallelujah. Why sing hallelujah in the dark times? I mean, there's a part of us just wants to resist singing praises when we feel bad. We don't want to sing joyful when we are feeling blue and in the dark. We want to wallow around in our sadness if only just for a little bit. And on top of all of that, we don't want to sing a half-hearted hymn of praise. We've been taught, unfortunately, to see that as not good enough for God. But is that really true? Is a half-hearted psalm or even a psalm delivered in protest, is that not good enough for God? It's important to not miss the fact that even in the Psalms, as David shouts out his doubts and fears to God, he is shouting them to God. Even as he wonders out loud if God has forsaken him, he wonders it to God. Think there may be a little secret in there. As the verse I just sang says, it doesn't matter what you've heard, the holy or the broken. Hallelujah. While David may have known a secret chord that pleased the Lord, it would seem that hallelujahs, praise songs to God, are just as much for the singer as they are for those listening. Maybe that's David's secret. It doesn't matter if it's a half-hearted hallelujah. All that matters is that it recognizes that God is there and with us. Because like David in the Psalms, if you learn to sing hallelujahs in the dark, even when you doubt God, you'll be less likely to shut down and shut God or your concept of God, whatever that may be, to shut it out. Because even half-hearted, the song will remind you that there is something larger than us, and that ultimately you are not alone. Now, there are plenty of other reasons to sing in the darkness. Bob Marley, as Bob Marley says, one good thing about music, when it hits you, you feel no pain. Or as Hans Christian Andersen said, where words fail, music speaks. David screwed up. His and Bathsheba's first child dies. And he's cursed to have rebellion from within his own house. And well, frankly, his story really doesn't get a whole lot better from that point on. Which brings us back to the Psalm, specifically Psalm 22. We don't know when the Psalms were written relative to David's life. And in reality, we don't know which ones were actually written by David, if any of them were actually written by David. But what we do know is that many of them, including Psalm 22 from today, were written by someone who knew pain, knew the difficult places of life, knew the darkness, and frequently chose to reach out of the darkness. While Psalm 22 begins in pain, my God, my God, and in doubt, I cry out by day, but you do not answer, and self-loathing, I am a worm and not human. It eventually concludes in praise. I will tell your name to my brothers and sisters. In the midst of the congregation, I will praise you. We are David, and David is us. We are all human, and in spite of our best intentions, even in spite of doing our best, we will screw up. We will find ourselves in varying degrees of darkness. We will feel lost and alone and sometimes numb. We'll want to wallow in it for a while. Set up camp there. Shut down and shut God out. But like David does in the Psalms, we must learn to sing hallelujah in the dark, even if it's half-hearted. Even if it's in protest. I did my best. It wasn't much. I couldn't feel, so I tried to touch. I told the truth. I didn't come to fool you. And even though it all went wrong, I'll stand before the Lord of song with nothing on my tongue but hallelujah. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Why sing hallelujah in the dark? Well, ultimately, it's one simple answer. And I'll borrow the answer from Thich Nhat Hanh, a Vietnamese Buddhist monk, who once said, sometimes your joy is the source of your smile, but sometimes your smile can be the source of your joy. Why sing hallelujah in the dark? Because sometimes your faith, your belief, is the source of your hallelujahs, and sometimes your hallelujah is the source of your faith. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Let us now take a time of reflection, of meditation, of prayer, whatever is best for you. And reflect on our message today. Reflect on the dark places of life and the importance of having some hope in the midst of it. Good and gracious God, we are thankful for the many blessings in our lives, and we acknowledge that we are among the most wealthy and well-to-do people on the planet. It is with that humility and perspective that we look to the dark places of our lives, the difficult times we each must at some point endure. Teach us to not let go of you during dark and difficult times. We give thanks for the divine presence, even when we have forgotten or about it or feel abandoned. Teach us that not only did you not bring the bad times upon us, but that you are still with us in them. May we each recognize. May we recognize that when we feel the most alone and know that we are not alone. Amen.